hear your voice like a whisper in the breeze. I feel your presence as you're dancing over me. So I run through the meadows of your love just to find you, just to find you.
Well, turn with me to John chapter 4. I didn't feel like we were done with the series, or the I think this is going to be a series, like I told you the first week. Now we're going to go over several different things. Part of me is a little curious that maybe this was just kind of, I thought we were going on a series over different things, and maybe we're just stuck on praise and worship. I don't know. I did not anticipate praise and worship to take this long to get through. I've taught on it before, and usually about everything I know about praise and worship can be fit into one sermon. And but the Holy Spirit's been, there's a reason. We have discussed this over the past several weeks, just about how I think that, how do I have it written down here, is that I believe there's a problem in the church as a whole. I'm not talking about Grace Fellowship of Moriah, though there could be symptoms here. I mean, I never want to sit there, because in my viewpoint, you guys are all perfect, but I don't ever want to sit here thinking, yeah, we ain't got no problems here. No, because things can start seeping in and coming in without detection if we're not careful. And so I think sometimes with us, the Holy Spirit wants to try to get things lined up maybe before they happen, or at the beginning of things happening. I look back, like I talked about on Wednesday, about that when the covenant issue arose, when we first joined forces here, you know, God didn't want it just to go, well, you know, just see if they will work it out, and, you know, and subtly, no, He took me straight to the Word and said, I want you to get on covenant until I tell you to stop. And 52 weeks later, I stopped. And so sometimes I think that's the way the Holy Spirit does it with us, is that if something that He sees that begins seeping in or happening, he just like, let's take care of it, let's hit it, so that we can identify stuff that might be the reason. And so I have gotten this understanding that praise and worship isn't just something that you do. It's not just something that happens. It's not the opening act. It's not the first part of the service that we've done. I think some people there's churches, and I it's just astonishing to me that there are, but there's churches that the only songs they sing are still a couple songs out of the hymnals, and the man stands up in front and directs and stuff like that. And it's amazing to me, with all the songs that we have. I mean, remind me after service to get that little MP4 player back to you, or MP3 player back to you, because I've had it in my car since that day I visited you. I came back and I immediately loaded it with songs, and then I just kept it for myself. No, I've got it's just in my car. But with all the songs we have to sing, I usually about once every couple months go and find about 15, 20 new songs that have just come out to download. And you know, you come out with songs like Champion. Our champion, you fight for us. You make a way when there was none. That wasn't there a year ago. That wasn't there back when all these other people were writing songs for the hymnals. But is it not powerful? Is it not powerful? Lion and the Lamb. So I don't know how you can get boxed in to this little book of 362 hymns that somebody acquired probably 50, 60, 100 years ago. And now, again, I'm not telling people that there's not anointing in there. But beloved, I'm going to tell you this much, that there's a whole lot of revelation that came after those songs were written. And we do a couple of them, but we have to kind of, you know, let me sand off that edge. We do that with some of the songs we sing too, but my point is that fine? Sure, that's fine. But my goodness, our God is God of increase. Our God is God of moving on. Our God is God of today. And so praise and worship, it's got to become more than just this few songs that we sing at the beginning. If it's not more than executing vengeance upon the enemy, and it hasn't become more than intimately meeting up with the Creator of the universe, then you have not done what God created us to do, and we'll talk about that a little bit later today. Beloved, your passion for praise is an indicator of your heart. It's an indicator of your relationship with Him. When it becomes no more than a song service, or becomes no more than something that we can pick or choose whether we make it to or not, we're missing the value of what God has created it for. We have a personal, powerful God that desires to transform us, change us, dwell in us, love on us, impart in us, win battles for us. And when we don't understand the value of praise and worship, we're missing it all. Now, we've gone through here, and again, I know that there's the intimacy on your own, and you should be having that. You should be having that time where you just love on God on your own, lift your hands, sing a song, maybe turn on worship music, get caught up. You should have that on your own. But beloved, our time and our communion, the beauty of worship that occurs in communion with other like-minded believers, nothing takes the place of that. Nothing gets more in depth than that. When we looked at the four different accounts and scriptures of where praise won battles, every one of them was a corporate anointing. I know you could say, well, Moses was the only one raising his hands. Well, no, because the people next to him were raising their hands too. And the people next to them were just important in that victory as Moses was. Moses was the man of God. If you can throw this out, if I can throw this out at you, your man of God may be up here leading in worship, but if I'm the only one leading in worship, I'm going to get beat up, run down, and wore out. But when you all participate with me, that's when the real anointing manifests. Amen? And so that's where our thought pattern is here, is much more in the area where we are together, in corporate, in this place. When we're together, what happens? If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Well, we got more than two in this place today. Wherever two or three are gathering in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Amen? So again, we're getting in that area where God loves us gathering together and operating as one in anything. And so, from the get-go, and I really didn't have numbers on this until last time I preached. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. And actually what caused me to put numbers on it was when I was teaching at the Word Rally, I tried to divide it to where I understood where the points I was making. And I realized I really have 5 points that I'm bringing out. And I know I have 3 fingers up, but if I put the other two up, the water's going. 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's not 12, so I can't finish that song. So the first one that I dealt with, I don't know how many of you listened to my message at the Word Rally. But it was based on this, but the foundation of it was, again, the church has kind of infection in there, and the infection is showing up in, and I'm not talking about grace, I'm just, the church as a whole, and the infection is showing up in the lack of desire to praise, which was kind of the thing that, man, it was the pattern. I thought I was going to be so out of the normal in what I taught. And here it was just kind of the pattern of the week where God was calling us deeper into Him. And so me, I'm me. How many know me? I'm a word man. And I like to sit down, especially in the word rally, and get down and go line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture, 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 scripture. I got there, and on the way there, I'm driving with Allison, and we start kind of laughing about things, and I tell her I should have made some charts because Pastor Jack preached Thursday night and had all the charts, had the big chart, and I said I should have made some charts just to kind of have some fun. And about that time, Lord gave me an idea for a chart, and then I'm sitting back there in worship and praise, and the Lord gives me another idea for a chart. And so I'm back there with my little notepad just sketching these things out. So I get up there. Long story short, I had one lady come up to me after my message, and she looked at me, and you could tell her eyes were red and a bit puffy, and she said, I cried all morning until you got up there. And she said, when you preached, I laughed harder than I've laughed in a long time. And I was like, well, maybe that's why I did it. Because I sat down and I looked at Pastor Elisa and Allison, and I'm like, that was a flop, man. I didn't use any scripture. I used two scriptures the whole day. And they were just really token. I could have really done it without those two scriptures. I was like, that's all I did. I flopped in this thing. And they were like, no, it was great. And my uncle was there, and he looked at me and said, hey, if you ever decide to give up ministering, you just need to go into stand up and get a routine and get some stuff. And again, anybody that knows me knows, you go look at my iPad, and I've got probably 30 comedians on there, clean ones. But I got 30 comedians on there, different CDs that I listen to, because I like to laugh. I've noticed that every now and then I'll just come in here and I'll do something stupid and get everybody laugh. But that day was weird, because I just kept being weird. Now, don't y'all do that, okay? I'm not always weird. I just kept being weird, being off center, the next Monday, again, we didn't see anybody after that because we ate and then we went. I had so many people tell us that was one of the best I've ever heard you preach. And I'm like, stop it. Quit just being kind to me. No. And Monday, Jessica and I went out with Pastor Jim. And he looked at me and he said, I can't say like that. He said, it was awesome. He said it was extraordinary. How? I said, I used two scriptures, and those were really just two scriptures that I just kind of threw in at the end of it. And he said, because it was you. He said it was just authentically you. He said it was you being goofy you. And I realized that when I do these little things up here where I go off cockeyed a little bit and I might say something weird, might, you know, even tell you a really stupid story like this one, that you get that. Along with all the Bible teaching, along with all the other stuff I do, the singing, with all that kind of stuff, you get the goofy pastor. That's what you get. And so if you don't like the jokes, I apologize. Like sheep, like shepherd. That's right. I just thought that was funny because he said it was just you. He said you, and it wasn't like that I try to be anybody else. It's just that my personality and just who I was. I had fun, but amen. All right, praise and worship. Number one flows from the inside out. I got on that because I told you that I gave it numbers because of the word rally. In other words, you do not dance. I got to make sure I word this right. Dancing doesn't mean you praised. Singing doesn't mean you praised. Because there's some people that will sing because they like to sing. Now I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I've sat in front of people at different locations, and they sing loud and they sing whether off key or on key, it doesn't matter. But they sing so loud that you can't hear the people on the stage. And they will sing and they will sing and they will sing and they'll do all the extra sliding and yeah. And you just kind of have to stop because you have to enjoy their show. Now again, I'm not accusing them of worshiping or not worshiping, but there are people that do that because they just like to sing. And I'm going to put on a show. I've seen people get up to sing in church, special numbers in church. And I'll just leave it this. I know of a couple people that like to sing in church, but they also had a little thing. They like to make money on their singing, so they would sing in bars. And what they learned to do in their singing in bars was what we call staging, where it means you just don't all stand in a straight line and go. They don't just do that. But it's kind of like, it's my turn to sing, so I'm going to shift over here. And the other ones are standing on there going, and then they're done with their solo, and so they'll move off and someone will shift over, and it's so smooth and so clean, and the stage is, they're always certain thing, and you're like, bravo. Wonderful show. I appreciate your efforts. Were they up there to worship God? Were they up there to get intimate with Him? Were they up there to lead you into the presence of God? Or were they up there for the show? Now again, I'm not going to, because there's areas that you can do, but just because you've sung doesn't mean you've worshiped. Because true worship, John chapter 4, verse 23. Slinger up there, bro. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers. How many here? Flip over. Is it the New Living Translation on that one, Brother John? Because I wanted that last line. It says, the Father, see that last three lines? The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. And that's just a really clean way to say, the time comes when true worshipers. So God doesn't want you just worshiping, quote unquote, worshiping and just kind of, I'm going to put on a show. Is there anything wrong with people doing choreographed dances in worship? Not necessarily. I've seen all sorts of things. I saw a dance team that just kind of would do their like little maypole things with their banners, and they would twist and turn together and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. It's fine. I'm not judging anybody. But what God's looking for, what He is searching for, and what He wants is for those to be true worshipers, and true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth, which is from the inside out. If all you ever do is come here and do what you feel comfortable with on the outside. Well, I don't like raising my hands. When I was a kid, I was a teenager, and I was in the growing stages. So I got to be about 5'6", 5'7". Actually, I went from 5'3 to 5'11 in like 1 year. Ryan never had that. He would grow about 1 inch a year, and it would annoy the dickens out of him, but he's taller than me. Right? The tortoise, the slow one gets the, so he won. He won that battle. I from between sixth and seventh grade year, I went from 5'3 to 5'11. And so I got 5'11, and I'm like this giant because all my friends are like still here doing that little slow growing thing. So I'd get in worship and praise, and I'd be there, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to raise my hands because my hands will be higher than everybody else's. So it was uncomfortable. So I'd stand there and I'd want to raise my hands, but I wouldn't. And finally one day I looked across the sanctuary, and our sanctuary was, if you can think of it in terms of this room's roughly square. It's not square, but it's roughly square. And it would be like our stage was in the corner of it. And so the corners would have been going back that way, out that direction. That might not be a bad idea to try that. Anyway, so that's how the stage went. And so, you know, people that were lined up here could look straight across and see people lined up there. That's just how. So I'd look over to the other side of the sanctuary. Because here, to look at the other side of the sanctuary, you'd have to go. And that'd make everybody uncomfortable. So I'm looking over there. And there's this guy about 6'3", 6'4", towers above me. And he's got his hands just reached up. So I kind of look back a little further, and there's this guy that's about, we had a guy who's about 6'7" in our church. He's a huge man. Big beard. And he had his hands stretched out. And I'm going, they're taller than me. Much taller than me. And they're not afraid of it. So if I love God, I just raise my hands. If I want to worship, I just raise my hands. See, it just made the difference in the world. And so I began raising my hands. You know, you go through stages, right? You kind of, you don't want to go crazy right up front. You got to, like, okay, everything's cool. Nobody's made fun of me. Nobody's put me, back in those days, there was no Facebook, so nobody's put, you know, pictures of me up around, you know, raising my hands. So, you know, you kind of get going a little higher. But eventually it was that man, that area is, oh no, it's time, I gotta. And I just begin raising my hands and just loving on him. To me, there's so many pictures that people have when they raise hands that, Carmen used to say, in class when you knew the answer, you raised your hands. She said, that's why I raised my hands. I've heard people, say that, you know, you raise your hands and surrender to him. I've heard a lot of those things, but when I raise my hands in worship, it's like I'm reaching up to Daddy and just hugging his neck. Last Sunday night when I came in, Reese kind of ran across in front of me. I think he was trying to figure out why Pastor Thad was not, you know, openly excited to see him. I just wasn't openly excited about it. So Wednesday he came in and he just kind of was like, is Pastor Thad? And it was so cool when I said, hey, Reese, and he came up and he just grabbed me and helped me. And that's that picture that I get when I raise my hands, is just of loving on Daddy, loving on Daddy's neck. But see, it's not a matter of this isn't praise. This is an extension or a sign of what's happening in here. I know we've taught on that so much, but this is the beauty of what God has revealed to me, and I think the church world as a whole has missed it. And I'm not being a judge, because I can't say, well, see these people right there. Because how they do it is fine. But see, when your insides are correct, you've got to do things on the outside. Amen. Amen. Yeah. More than just the token sway, or more than the token, amen, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It goes beyond that. Amen, hallelujah. Oh, this is frustrating me. I thought I'd move faster today. I'm not saying I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just, this is the reason I'm not getting through this series very quickly. Bill Johnson, which I just got his book, When Heaven Invades Earth. It's my vacation book, and I can't wait to read it, because I went online yesterday, I was just doing some studying, and I found some quotes from him, and I can't wait to start studying more of his stuff. He's got some crazy, just some really good insight. But he says, we're transformed according... Now, he's out of Bethel, which does a lot of the new worship and things on that order. But he says, we are transformed according to our time and exposure to the glory, which is manifested presence of King Jesus. Every time we take a moment to rest in adoration of him, there is a seeing of him that takes place. But we're transformed based on our time and his glory. And so we need to desire to be in that glory more and more and more in our lives. And again, there's nothing like the glory of God when it's, when there's that intimate corporate worship. So the first thing is we worship from the inside out. The second thing that we've talked about, and the wording of this is important because worship creates intimacy like nothing else you could ever do. Worship creates intimacy with God unlike anything else that you'll ever do in your life. The best picture that I can give of this, and we've gone through it, is the altar of incense that was in the holy place. And I did some research as I was getting ready because I wanted to make sure all my T's were crossed and I's were dotted. That's right, we crossed T's. It didn't sound right for a second. John, flip up Leviticus 16:12 because I want to read that. But in Psalm 91, we know it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Most of the Almighty." And in Israel, there was no more secret place in the Old Covenant. There's no more secret place because not everybody got in there. And so there's no more secret place than the Holy of Holies. And there was only one access into the Holy of Holies. The only access you had into the Holy of Holies was through, not around, not under, but through the veil. And I'm convinced of this because the veil of the temple was not your normal little curtain. It wasn't just a quilt that you could move aside. It was basically a wall that you couldn't just move out of the side. You had, the only way you could go in there was supernaturally. See, when people put, when people start throwing ropes on the ankles of the high priest when he goes into the Holy of Holies, they don't understand that you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies if your sacrifice wasn't accepted and if you weren't pure. You couldn't move in. Oh, but see here. Let's all worship the Lord here, okay? And we raise our hands and we all close our eyes and we just, now we're living in a different time too, but we just, and somebody's got things that are separating them from God. In other words, they got some sin in their lives. They got some stuff, some dirt. Some things. Maybe they've been busy the rest of the service critiquing the pastor, you know, instead of receiving the pastor, all that kind of stuff. So they got this dirtiness going on in their lives, but they can still sing with all of us and raise their hands and somehow get this picture that they've moved in. They haven't necessarily moved in. That's the thing, is that we can be in this place crowded with people and everybody else in this place moves in and you're sitting there going, well, I've got my hands raised, I've got my eyes closed and I'm singing the song with everybody, but you've not moved in. You're not going in as a high priest back in the tabernacle and temple days. You're not going into that place unless things are right with God. In other words, every step you took along the way is right. You've washed at the lever. The sacrifice has been accepted. You're now standing there with incense in your hands, raising it up before the Lord. And so you, and again, I understand that now we have open access. The veil of the temple has been rent in twain. And so now we have open access into that. But that just means that the high priest isn't the only one that gets to go in. That's what that means. It does not mean that it's cheap, and it does not mean that it is not going to cost you something to move in. Amen. Beloved, if you think this thing, that this Christian walk is some cheap, easy thing to operate in, then you have underestimated, you have underestimated what Jesus did on the cross. Let me put it this way. You have undervalued what Jesus did on the cross. He did not die on the cross. He did not give you access for you to sit around and live however you want to live and still be able to go in before Him. Amen. Oh, but I've had some times where I just really enjoy it. Yeah, you can. Worship and music are one of the most easily manipulative things on the face of this earth. They will use in department stores music to set the mood for you to shop and to keep moving and to keep. They will be used in restaurants certain kinds of music to where you'll want to get things done and move on. That they use it to manipulate you. And so you can sit here. It's not hard to figure out that when Steve's playing the guitar, that there's an anointing that drops in this place. It's not hard to figure that one out. And you can sit back and get caught up in that without ever having moved in. Man, is it okay if I just get real with you here? I don't mean that. This is not heavy. This is something God's wanted to get across to us. So you can sit back and enjoy what's going on. Their music can be going. And you know what? When you hear fast music, you want to tap your foot. You want to sway a little bit. You want to bust a move like I bust moves. Or like you would bust a move correctly. But you want to move. You want to, because that's what music will do to you. It doesn't mean you've accessed the Holy of Holies. Just because Jesus died on the cross, rent the temple, rent the veil in two, it gives you access, but it doesn't mean that you go in there, because it wasn't cheap and it wasn't a weak thing that he did, and he didn't do it so that you could just live however you wanted to live and still access his presence. Goodness gracious. Pastor Thad, get back to the funny stuff. What he did for us on the cross was the most valuable thing that anybody has done on the face of this earth. The world, the nation is flipping over what LeBron James has done and opening a school and providing supplies and providing clothes and doing that. Wonderful. I'm glad. But that gift pales in comparison to what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus didn't make a way for 300 underprivileged kids. He made a way for whoever will. Hallelujah. I'm just going to sit here and listen to him preach, because my goodness, this is outstanding. Put it up there, Leviticus 12, or 16:12, I think it was. Talking about the priest, there's one thing, and I never really understood this. I didn't even understand this before I really read this. I'd taken it kind of for what they said and stuff like that. But I just assumed that it was the priest that went into the Holy of Holies. But the priest was allowed to take one thing into the Holy of Holies. Notice here, it says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals, that's that little censer, a fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands shall be full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. You didn't go in to that secret place. You didn't go in to the intimacy where it was just you and God. Without that censer of incense, which represented prayer and praise, you didn't move in. And I'm telling you what, that's a secret. That's a secret. Why? Hallelujah. We move into the intimacy that you can't move into any other way. I've made the most of laying on the couch this week and keeping my eyes closed. I told you Wednesday night that everything I taught you that Wednesday night, everything that came out of my mouth, tonight we'll touch on some of it just in repeat, but everything that came out of my mouth was given to me just as I sat there and talked to the Lord about that stuff. I went on and began studying stuff because there was a couple things I had to research because what I was talking to him about, what he's talking to me about. But everything else was just simply one of those things that I wrote it down, and then I got up there and I put it on a piece of paper, and 3 pages later I'm like, that's about all the time I have for. And so tonight we'll get into another section of it. But there's nothing like that. That where I just was. I mean, again, I made the most of just laying there. But it does. But beloved, when we get into that place of praise and worship, where praise and worship, where the sacrifice of praise, where that is, are the words of our lips, offering praises to God. When we get into that place, there's nothing that replaces that. Listen, as good as Steve is on Sunday nights, well, this morning, as good as he is, that does not replace that intimacy of praise and worship with you and moving in there. You've got to be in that place. I got to move on. Goodness gracious. Holy Spirit's getting a message across this morning. It's not the one necessarily that I studied for, but maybe we'll get to that one. God has prepared a place in praise and worship that will take you where you cannot go on your own. And that will lead you to blessing that you could not dream of on your own. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that was Thad Callahan quote there. All right, so number one, praise and worship is from the inside out. Number two, worship creates an intimacy with God that you can't get anywhere else. Number three, praise wins wars. Praise wins wars. Amen. When we're in praise, you say, well, I like it when things get slowed down a little bit. And Wednesday, when Allison was leading in worship, I could tell there was a little bit of pressure on her anyway, but there was a little bit more pressure on her to do fast songs. And so I said, do a medium song to start it out with. Just don't focus on the fast songs. But do a medium song and then do a slow song. Or I said, just do a slow song. Well, that wasn't good enough for them. They just had a big long list of slow songs that we just entered in and intimacy. But that first song was what we'd call a praise song, even though it was medium. Because as we entered into that, I mean, you could just feel the chain. I feel those chains falling. Even though it was a medium song, that even could, how you sing it, could even lean more towards the slow songs. But praise wins wars. Matter of fact, when we went through a lot of the scriptures on it, we had the lifting of the hands with Moses. Jericho's walls were the horn section and a shout. Now again, there's a place and a time for everything, but usually in worship or intimacy, you're not shouting. There's nothing I like more than to sit down on the couch next to my wife and pull her close and lean over to her ears and go, blah! No, intimacy is gentle. But the celebration, the praise, the which is what praise is the loud. So they took down the walls with the horn section and the shout. We talked about Jehoshaphat's armies, and that one I love because it included so much. It says, and when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should halal. Which the halal is what we'll talk about in a second. That's the celebratory, loud one, the beauty of holiness. And most people that praise the beauty of holiness, oh Lord, we praise the beauty of, that's not that word. What I was doing this morning that's a whole lot more praise than the beauty of holiness, because that's the halal being clamorously foolish. They went out to the army and they said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a yada, which extend the hands vigorously. So it's not even the, like, what Moses did. It's the, whoo, 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 you know, it's what sports fans do at a game. It's the, amen. And then, when they began, verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise, and that word to praise means to, is tehillah, which means to sing praises spontaneously, not rehearsed, but you just begin singing to the Lord. So everybody began singing their own song, began singing to the Lord. So we see three different things, but all of them have to do with more of the outgoing, celebratory type service, worship and praise. So again, it's corporate, but it was praise. Praise leads to winning battles. And then Paul and Silas in jail was pretty awesome because they sang, and again, I know they couldn't really dance, but they shined. Because they sang loud, and they sang, everybody else was listening, right? This is the revelation I got last week. This is one of the last things we went through. But their praise caused the people around them to have their chains break off. So your praise doesn't just influence you, it influences those around you. My question to you this morning is if your praise this morning is what was going to break the chains off the person next to you, are they in good shape today, right now? Pastor Thad. Another one of those questions. Can you go back to the comedy routine that you were doing? Because, again, I'm not judging anybody because I have my eyes closed. I focus up there. I look out at you just simply because I think I'm supposed to every now and then. Make sure you're still here. Make sure you haven't left. So I'm not accusing or judging anybody. I'm simply asking you. If you feel guilt, it's because God said, you know the answer to that one. It's just something you got to ask yourself. You may be going through a battle, but the person next to you might need your praise. Did you leave them disappointed? Or are they changed? We can get so, and if you allow me to say it like this, and if you don't, I'm going to say it like this anyway. We can get so selfish in praise. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I feel comfortable doing. That's not the song I would sing. I'm sorry. I'm okay with it. I found that usually when I pick songs out, they flow in the order of the service more than if I would have took a vote. Amen. We could start doing that. No. Have a worship committee.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Try to, you know.
It's already 7:10.
That's okay. That's a joke. That's a joke. Well, it's a joke because it's not really as funny as it seems. I do think that Pastor Elise and I are matching. The Elises and I are matching. I probably do. There's a good chance of this. Jessica's almost there. I don't know why I said that. Maybe I needed to ease it for a second. But we can get so selfish in praise. The hubbub, remember the hubbub of when I had to teach on covenant there? Mm-hmm. The whole reason was praise and worship. Somebody was singing too loud in praise and worship. They're singing too loud and it's bothering me. I can't really get into my own. We get caught up in ourselves. I just don't like it when Pastor Thad sings different words. Because if it's not up on the wall, he shouldn't sing it because that really goofs me up. And then he starts singing words and he changes them. How dare him change it? Sing your own words. I figured it out. I tried it at the word rally this year when Pastor David and Julie would sing an open praise and they would be singing a song and I would be in the intimacy of myself and I'd be singing a song in the same key. You know, they're not going, no. I'm going, Jack! You know, I'm in the same key as they are, staying in there. And I realized, hey, you know what? I don't think I was throwing anybody else off because I was in my own area of worship and praise. But we can get selfish. But when we understand our coming together in worship and praise, that what we do could actually be the thing that breaks the chains of the person next to us. They may be having trouble entering in on their own. Maybe they've got symptoms in their body that are yelling at them louder than anything else. And they just need a little bit of corporate help to see those chains break. Isn't that something to think about? Hallelujah. Beloved, are you getting anything out of this series? This is something that is opening up windows and revelation to me beyond anything. I've been a worshiper. I've been a worship leader for years. Here I've been, obviously. But even before then, I was 4 years down in Brownsville. There was 2 years when we went over to Richmond when I was youth pastor then I've always been a worship leader in my youth ministry. I love worship. But what the Holy Spirit's revealing to us, in the last days there will be an increase of knowledge. And I believe God has watched His church go from a place of power to a place where they're getting watered down, but they're getting watered down because they don't understand what they have. And so as we understand this, hallelujah. All right. I'm gonna skip this part. What? No, okay, I got 10 minutes, so I can skip that part. I might come back to it. How about this? I'm just going to tell you the name. You can do the research yourself, or if I'm supposed to be... three other types of worship that we really... Well, one of them we have talked about because we found it. Halal, which means to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. This is a quote from Pastor Thad. It is the most used form of praise in the Bible. However, in the body of Christ, yeah, it's probably the least. Intriguing, isn't it? Celebrating. Another one, again, I'm showing you a couple of things. Barak means to kneel, to bless, to bow. So that's that intimacy. That's that prostrate before Him. Yeah. Had to make sure I put the R in there. Then the third one that I could do is to use the instruments, to touch the strings, to make music. So the instruments are valuable. When Steve, in the quiet, see, I sing a lot. My main instrument are my vocal cords. And so I sing a lot. And so when I get into open worship, I have tendency more to verbalize things, and things on that. Steve's main instrument is his guitar. So when he gets open worship, he will speak some things, but it's as he gets on the, and that is a form of praise. That is not him making an excuse. It's not him doing something that, like, well, we don't like it when he does that. No, it's praise. It's releasing those things unto the Lord. This thought hit me. So we've talked about these seven different ways of worshiping. Which type of praise do you and should you use? How about this answer? Whichever one is right at the time. Whichever one flows out at the time. So in other words, I don't think it's always necessary for you to dance. But to never have danced? You don't always have to shout. But to never have shouted? Amen. All right. There's a time and a place for everything. So that's the important thing. It flows from the inside out. The question really becomes, are you willing to do all these things? All right. Let's go to number four here. I think we can get through it. But If we can't, you know, tough luck, right? Praise and worship. Number four, praise and worship is for your benefit and is created to make you feel good. That's number four. Praise and worship is for your benefit and is created to make you feel good. Say, what? No, this. I mean, I've got proof. I don't just have Bible proof. I've got, we got scientific. That did you know as a whole has become what the Bible tells you to do, whether it be in praise and worship or laughing or whatever. It's to make you feel better, just physically feel better, mentally feel better. God is not egotistical. There is not one thing He's ever asked you to do, praise and worship included. He did not create, He did not say, I need you to praise and worship to make me feel good. Praise and worship is for you. He knows what you need. He created you. He knows the secret to get you your blessings, to get you functioning properly. And if you just listen to Him and do what He tells you to do, you will enjoy it. Let's look at some scriptures. Go Isaiah 43, verse 7. I thought these were interesting as I began doing a little bit of research. We'll wrap this thing up here in a few minutes. I'm not. This point isn't one of those points. It could get deep, but I feel it's in simplicity. If we understand this, this is praise and worship. This is why we cannot undervalue what praise and worship does, because it is here just simply to help you. Isaiah 43, verse 7. It says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That word glory is that kabod, the splendor, the copiousness, the weighted down with all that heaven has. I've created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. So God created us to tap in to be heavenly, to his kabod, to operate in that area. So again, the easiest way to access all that is through praise and worship. And so when you're not truly worshiping Him, you are not living in what He created you to live in. Isn't that kind of simplistic? Hey, go to verse 21, 43, 21. God in the prophetic here, He says, this people have I formed for myself, they shall. We know what shall means. This means this is instilled. This cannot be changed, it cannot be moved, it cannot be transformed. This is instilled in every one of us. They shall show forth my praise. I have formed them, I have created them, I know what's necessary for them to live and to succeed. And what's necessary for them to live and succeed is for them to show forth my praise. The Amplified Version reads like this. The people I formed for myself that they may set forth my praise and do it and shall do it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? He created us and said, you will praise. And remember, he did not put man in there and then say, well, let's figure out what he needs. Well, here's some air. Tired of you looking all blue and not laying around. Here's some air. Here's some oxygen, right? We'll figure out plants. Okay, plants. How about plants bring in carbon dioxide and put off oxygen and man brings in oxygen and puts off carbon dioxide, so they're feeding each other, they're coexisting together. He called it before it was, he spoke before it was, and that's how things forever would be. And part of that was, my man shall praise me. I have formed you, and you will praise me. Isn't that something? Just Simplicity. God knows what we need. God knew we needed oxygen. So He didn't have everything else, all the plants. He didn't have the plants putting off carbon dioxide, because that would not be good for us. He knew we needed oxygen, so He said, plants, you're going to feed off of carbon dioxide, and oxygen is what's going to... I am right on that one, aren't I, Pastor Lisa? I thought I was. I learned something in science. Go to Psalm 150. Hallelujah. When I feel the Holy Spirit just bringing fresh revelation and insight, it makes me more excited than ever to teach on those things, just to let it flow out. And that's what I so much feel here with this, is that teaching on praise and worship could be so much line upon line. You do this, here's how you do it, here's how you do it. But I just sense so strongly that this is just Spirit flowing to Spirit and really, really breathing that breath of revelation. That's what I'm sensing so strong in here. Psalm chapter 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath... How many of y'all in here have breath? Okay, couple of you. Couple of you don't. Get some. If you got breath, God says you need to praise Him. He knows what you need. Let everything that, if you got breath, praise Him. Why? Because God is egotistical. He's kind of low self-esteem. No. God created mankind. He knew what mankind needed in order to succeed in life. If we don't praise the Lord, beloved, if you don't live in true praise, true worshipers, it will influence you in a negative way. Our whole physiology is made up to live in regular praise of who God is. I'm going to skip that just to get down to this part and close here. Well, let's do Psalm 63. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, so... And we'll wrap it up. I'm not gonna. Wednesday, I could tell I hadn't preached in a week. And when I looked at the time, granted, about half hour of it was altar time and communion time. When I looked at it, and it was an hour and 27. Minutes, and you can't, on a CD, you can't burn over an hour and 20 minutes. So I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. But you could tell I just hadn't preached in a while. But in Psalm 63, verse 1, that's kind of how I feel today, too. Oh God, You are my God. Earnestly will I seek You. My inner self thirsts for You. My flesh longs and is faint for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. It's what we do. Verse 4, so I will bless You while I live. I will lift my hands in Your name. Now notice here in verse 5, my whole being... That's everything I am. It's my flesh, my soul, my spirit. It's my mind, my will and emotions, my flesh, my whole being. I like how that word's there in the Amplified. Will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When we bless the Lord, when we lift our hands, when we have praise and worship on our mouths, when we're doing, even back, verse 3, my lips shall praise You. No matter what's going on, when we do that, it will change our whole being. Our whole being. Man, this is for our benefits. The more you praise, the stronger you get. The stronger you get. Your physical body, your mental body, your soulish body. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's some things. Any part of worship, clapping, raising hands, shouting, singing, dancing, releases endorphins and different good chemicals into your bloodstream that makes you feel good. Raising your hands improves digestion, relieves anxieties. Clapping your hands plays a role, and clapping your hands is powerful. I love the fact, because I searched for it a lot, and I kind of learned a little bit. And then when we went out to eat a couple years ago with John Paul, and he just started talking about clapping your hands, and I was like, okay, I needed that. And now they've done more research. Clapping hands plays a role in curing heart and lung problems, provides relief from back, neck, and joint pains, helps with digestive orders, increases immunity. Clapping your hands for a half hour a day helps those suffering from diabetes, arthritis, hypertension, depression, chronic headaches, common cold, insomnia, eye problems, and hair loss. Is it any wonder why we stand in praise and worship and we have that hard time getting our hands from this position to this position to that position? I'll do it. I'll sing. I'll sway. I ain't clapping my hands. God didn't tell you to clap your hands, all you people shouting to God with a voice of triumph, because He's going, I need you to clap your hands unto me. He says it's going to help you. Mixing laughter with clapping intensifies all the effects. That sounds like a low to me. Clapping, raising hands, dancing, shouting, all release endorphins, the feel-good drug that your body, your own body, produces. This is for you. And of course, the psalmist said that back in Psalm 63. But in Psalm 146, verse 2, David, the psalmist, he knew something. He knew something. And he said, while I live, I'll praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. He knew something. He knew something. Amen? Beloved, when we learn that very thing, our praise services will be different. And I'm not saying they're bad. Don't get me wrong about it. We have great praise service. I just keep my eyes closed, so I don't know what you're doing. I'll close with one quote, and then we can stand. Bill Johnson. I told you, I went through 40 of his quotes the other day. And they're going to end up here. They just will. They're good. But he says, the only true worship is extreme worship. And only extreme worship brings extreme results. And that's transformation. And that's what we're talking about right here in this point. You want to be transformed? It's time that true worship, inside out, comes out of you. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Again, if you're not enjoying it, that's okay. I am. I'm enjoying it enough for everybody. I know some people can feel like, you know, when pastors preach on this kind of stuff, they're just trying to get us to do anything. Best revelation I had from Wednesday night, and I'll bring it up maybe tonight. Best revelation I had was what God talked to me about Elijah. And again, it's not the only way to look at that, but I just love when he looked at Elijah. Elijah threw his mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha said, I got to go back and say bye to mom and dad. And Elijah said, what do I have to do with thee? Go ahead. What do I have to do with thee? In other words, I did what I was supposed to do. You do what you have to do. And that's the way I view how I kind of get a feeling Pastor Thad might get a little more bold in preaching. I'm not unbold, but that's the way I view this. You might look at this and go, I don't know about that. I don't know. What do I have to do with you? I've done what I'm supposed to do. You can either do it, you can either enter in. And again, I'm not up here judging anybody. Not one iota. This is rhema revelation coming from your man of God to you. And God may, again, when God brings this, He may, number one, He may know what's coming down the road and know that you need to understand that praise and worship is going to be the thing that's going to make the difference in where you're coming down the road. Number two, He may be going, attaboy. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't pull back. And number three, He might be saying, hey, ding dong, start. Sometimes we always put ourselves only into that last category where the pastor is going, hey, ding dong, you need to do this. That may not be the case. If that's what you get, that's you, hey, me. I'm just delivering the word of God. That's all I'm doing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Our praise and worship should never be something about just getting her done. It should always be about seeing some chains break. It should always be. You say, but what if I don't have any chains, Pastor Thad? That person next to you might. And they might need you doing the chopping to get them off. And it should always be about entering in, moving in deeper. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. I have thoroughly, overwhelmingly enjoyed this message. How can I, about 5-6 messages into this series, even where I spent 45 minutes of this message repeating and refreshing, how can I sit here and go, I think this was the best sermon of them all? It's because, Father, every word that's come out of my mouth has not come from Pastor Thad. I don't want my words to be my words. I want my words to be your words. I want my words to be the oracles of God speaking. When they hear me, they hear Jesus. When they see me, they see Jesus. When they get a revelation, it's not just because Pastor Thad thought of something cool. Usually, it's an accident that I write something down, and not an accident, but you give me. I don't think about, I write it down, I think, oh, that's cool, and then I move on. And it's when I'm in the anointing, I'm going, oh man, I didn't know what I wrote down. This ain't about me. It's you giving a word, a message in due season to your beloved, to my beloved, so that we can go from good enough, from fine, from things are going pretty good, to I'm living in the extraordinary. And that's where God wants His children to live. But we got to learn the secrets. We got to press in deeper than we've ever pressed in. Hallelujah. Hungry for more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.